crouch, bind, set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of... This week, it's actually the Royal House of Rugby. My name is Alex Payne. Apparently, we're still the UK's number one sports podcast, and I think we're only heading in one direction this week because we have a very special guest alongside Mr. Mike Tindall. It's the one and only Mrs. T. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
We normally have a very noisy blonde bombshell sitting in that seat. It's very nice to have... Less of a noisy.
Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice when you come into here and you can actually just taste the fresh oxygen that's normally been sucked out of the room and you're sort of fighting for carbon dioxide.
You might actually be able to hear yourselves talk.
It's so relaxing. Have you seen or heard this podcast ever before?
I have.
Which begs the question: what on earth are you doing? You should have run 100 miles.
And the invitation, so you could come.
Truly love.
It is truly love.
Ask has got a very soft spot for the wife. Actually,
does he?
Yeah.
There are many, I'm sure. Yeah. He's got serious FOMO that he's not here this week. And producer Si, as is normally... When Haas doesn't join us, he normally sends us a video. He hasn't even found the time to send a video this week. He isn't that much of a strop.
He's in a bit of a grump, though, isn't he? On WhatsApp, he was very grumpy.
Very angry. First impressions of Haas?
I can't believe he didn't send in a video message
for me. A little something to say hello.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will send you a video message, but probably not one that we can put up on here. First impressions of Haas when you met him. When did you first meet him?
England.
It would have been...
Did he come bounding over like a noisy baby?
Yes, yeah, definitely. But then he would always come back with a story about me after we've had a few beers, so maybe I should just be...
We got quite close at your wedding to him telling quite an interesting anecdote, but he chickened out of that.
Did he?
Which one? Didn't I know exactly what it had been. Actually.
Well, I think.
Yeah. There was two.
Yeah.
He was quite good, actually.
A relation of yours, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
He actually managed one relation and then tried to kidnap another.
Yes, right. He did. But he was quite good, actually. He stole the camera guy's camera and did some interviewing.
Right.
Funny that.
Him in front of the camera.
He's fortune on a wedding, on a wedding special video, and this is Haas popping up in the middle of it all.
Funny, he wanted to make himself known.
Funny ha-ha, or just funny, please give it back and let the pros do it?
To be fair to him, it was very funny.
Okay. There's so many things we can talk about. It's very nice to have you on. Are you happy to go anywhere tonight? We can sort of just see what comes off the bat. We were going to try and have a chat about, obviously, sporting greatness on both sides of the family.
Yeah.
The rugby lineage that runs throughout the royal family. There are sort of hundreds of different things as well. But it'd be very interesting to sort of start with what it's like being married to... you can
to
both
Mike
chip
Tindall.
In on this. To Mike Tindall, yes. Where did you two first meet?
So it was we first met in 2003 in the World Cup when I got dropped. For the quarter semi-finals against France. I was slightly annoyed with Clive, so I went out for a beer.
Right.
And I went out with Austin, who'd flown in for one night because both of our scrum halves were injured at the time. Actually, to tell the true story, after the game against Wales that we ended up winning, both scrum halves got together and go, wouldn't it be funny if we both pretended we were injured? And Clive would panic and have to fly Austin out. So they went to Clive. Kieran went, Clive, my back's really bad. I'm not sure I'm going to be all right for next week. And Dorse went something with his hamstring or a calf or something. So immediately Clive panicked. Got Austin on a Sunday, straight on the plane. So he landed on a Tuesday.
Just to tell him to go home again.
And as he landed in the air...
As
he was flying in the air, both boys by Tuesday have got... He must have flown Monday. Both boys by Tuesday have said, no, Clive, we're fine. So as Austin's landed, he's got a voice message from Clive. Sorry, mate, we don't need you. Your flight back is tomorrow or Thursday, and you're playing at Rotherham on Saturday. At that point as well... No, if you're not in the squad, you can't come to the hotel. You can't stay within a certain radius of the team hotel.
Right?
Yeah, so he was on a different hotel, like 2 miles away, on his own. And then he had to go back.
Do you want a coffee or drink?
Cozza was a bit annoyed. He wasn't in the squad for the France game as well, or he was on the bench. So we said we'd go and meet him for a beer. We went to a meeting, and then the Manly Wharf Bar.
Yeah.
We went there for a drink, and Zara was out there with... So her brother was out, and they have friends in Sydney, so they were out, and she was out with all her girlfriends.
We were just there for
the World Cup.
For rugby.
Bit of drinking, bit of boozing, bit of partying.
I actually had gone to New Zealand first, and then come back for the semis and the final. My brother had been out there for about a month with about six other mates.
All doing Rugby World Cup?
Yeah.
All doing Rugby World Cup. Doing Oz Experience or the...
No.
No, just literally out of that.
Yeah, so...
Yes, okay, so Austin was out there.
So then we went in, and then Leicester on the way back from playing Bath at rugby often stopped at a pub called The Pheasant, I think it was. And
no,
was
it's,
it not
it's a no pub based in the world.
It's a pub they used to stop on the way back from Bath, on the way back to Leicester, as a like a pub crawl if they'd won or whatever. It was a pub frequented by Zara, so Austin had met her a few times, and Cozza.
Yeah.
So when we went into the hard bar, they went and had a chat with her, and then that's when we met. I was actually pretty grumpy with Clive.
He was pretty grumpy.
Really?
He
was
actually didn't really talk to them that much.
First impressions?
And we had lunch. It was a load of girls. We'd had a lunch.
They'd been on a long lunch, to put it mildly.
In Watson's Bay, and we ended up in Manly, and so we were on a slightly different level to what he was.
Yeah.
Slightly happier than he was.
Right.
But then
Austin
Austin sent me her number, said, oh, she wants to know where everyone's going out after the World Cup final.
Yeah.
So then,
which I never said, by the way.
Right.
And then, so the stories diverge.
Yeah.
Let's come back
and then
again.
we were obviously went after we won the final. We went into a room where Harry was and sort of got chatting to them. And then we sort of all went to the same place, Cargo Bar. And then when I was leaving at 6, I think you were just arriving. And then crossed paths again.
Impressive.
Then. But then we ended up just having sort of text banter when we got back. And then I went to the North Cotswold Ball with her and a friend, and friendship ensued, and then it went from there.
I wish we had some sort of romantic
we
music in the background.
Friends.
Did you? And look at where we are now. How long have we been married? 8 years?
2011, yeah.
Wow, this is really merry. Just think what might have been. So if you look, exactly, if you look
that's
now...
That's what Tom Shanklin always says, because he apparently got phoned up by Clive Woodward before I was picked, and said, would you play for England? And he was like, hell no, I'm Welsh, if you ever listen to Hank.
Thomas.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, look what I could have, look where I could have been.
Yeah. It's a huge difference.
Come on.
Well, I know he just overdoes the fake tan, but, and looks like Morph, but otherwise he's always
been a Gavin Henson.
He's very funny though.
So were you quite a keen rugby fan anyway?
Yeah, because obviously, Mum's bit was been president of
SIU.
Is president the right word?
Patron.
Yeah, not president.
Sorry.
For a long time, when we were growing up, we always went to Scotland games.
Yeah.
My brother played rugby a lot.
I can remember watching him on rugby special.
Did you? Like Scottish schools?
Scottish under-18s or whatever it was, yeah. Many, many years ago.
Scottish schools. So yeah, we did actually watch a lot of rugby and go to a lot of rugby.
Yeah.
I was on a lot of touchlines.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well-trodden path. Are you a Scotland fan?
Yeah.
Are you an England fan?
I think I probably was a Scotland fan before I was an England fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you support both now or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
And when they play each other? So what happens in 2 weeks' time?
I don't know, but whenever I've gone to watch England play Scotland in Murrayfield, England have lost.
Right. You can go to Twickenham in 2 weeks' time if you'd like, because Scotland haven't won there for a very long time.
It should be safe.
You'd be safe enough, I reckon.
Yeah.
Although that might well be the recipe for disaster.
It's probably my fondest memory of a Calcutta Cup was 2011. I was captain, and I got injured, literally. I ripped the deltoid ligament on the inside of my ankle off the bone, pulled a bit of bone off there. It was bad.
In the game?
Yeah, and came off. But then, obviously, we won the match, so I had to get the Calcutta Cup. And Minty was like, Nick Easter was like, I'll go get the cup for you, mate. And I was like, that's my mother-in-law. There is no way you are taking it. This is a moment I'm going to actually savour.
Was there a little note? Was there a little sort of message as you collected the trophy?
No, she was very good. She was very good, to be fair. She actually asked if my ankle was all right. So
that's very
kind.
Yeah, she's nice.
When your brother played, I mean, that's a hell of an achievement, actually. I mean, was he a proper passionate rugby fan and...
Yeah, he loves his rugby. I mean...
Still loves it nowadays.
Yeah. We went to England-Wales last weekend... And he was just devastated.
Really?
Generally was.
So he played for Scotland under 18, but was devastated for England?
Yeah.
Good. I like being in the royal family. You can sort of change bases according... You can change horse according to who's winning.
But he would support Scotland too.
Yeah.
Would you have a good wrestle with him nowadays? Is he sort of, you know, he's got broad shoulders?
I think he's. I keep trying to get him to come and play for Minch, but he's sort of officially fully retired. But I think he. I know
when many people are.
When I was playing for Gloucester, there's a little club called Mighty, and they used to have a sevens tournament, and they always used to pull a load of like Gornston lads and mates from down in the Cotswolds together to put a sevens team in for Mighty. Yeah. And then the year I retired, I was like, all right, let's go to Mighty. And they were like, oh no, we're not going anymore, we're all too old. Whatever. I was like, oh.
Disappointed when that happens. Yeah. So when you were down in Australia in 2003, if we're sort of to rank, have you heard Hask use the expression rugby nors?
Like, he's a rugby nose. Yeah,
he is a rugby nose. He fights it, but he is.
He's the anti-rugby nose. He's everything else nose.
Yeah, exactly. He's a life nose. How would you rank who is the most enthusiastic rugby fan in the royal family right now? Because your mum is obviously patron of the SIU.
I mean...
Wills is at WIU. Harry's at
number one.
Probably.
In terms of number one rugby nose.
Mum.
Yes, in the purity of the game, in the fact that she understands a lot.
Yeah.
And
did she ever critique your performances?
She critiques team performances. Okay. She critiques Scotland performances a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she feedback to Gregor and say, listen, not enough line speed in defence or breakdown is taking too long to get?
A lot of bits around speed of all. But then in terms of Norse, of just when they win, being a... William is... Every time Wales win, obviously on the weekend, the other weekend, straight on the phone to me.
Was he?
Yeah.
Into the WhatsApp group.
I was
group.
Like, I still got lots of pictures of you in our changing rooms with your England jersey on.
That is quite awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. That picture of William and Harry where they... One's in England, not in 03, where they both became heads and they were sat next to each other and William's cheering.
That's absolutely brilliant.
It's just class.
That's the Christmas card.
Yeah.
But didn't William go down to 03 as well? Was it just Harry down there?
Harry. No, William didn't come.
Oh. But he is now a passionate Welsh fan.
No, he has to be.
Oh, hang on. That could be explored a little more. Has to be or wants to be.
I think this is
where
he flexed into two counts. When Wales play England, he has to have his Welsh jersey on, but I think he would support England as well.
Yeah. Just like me in Scotland.
Yeah, just who made the best team win, exactly. Yeah. That is very interesting. And so your mum, obviously, has been a huge Scotland fan for years. Yeah. Not a lot to celebrate recently, is that something? She's somebody who, when they lose, it sort of genuinely irritates her.
Last year was good, though, wasn't it, for them?
Yeah, well, they won the Calcutta Cup, yeah. Yes.
But and I mean,
we haven't had title.
I
we
think
had Grand
she's,
titles
she's happier with the performances that have been over the last.
It's
year
a lot more
a
fun watching them at Murrayfield in the last three or four years than it has been in the last.
You turn up with genuine anticipation that they could win, or they could put in a performance that will shock someone.
Yeah,
obviously, at the moment they're decimated with injuries, so
yeah, struggle. Is the Queen a rugby fan at all? Because she used to be patron of the RFU, didn't she? But I don't think has been for a while.
I mean. I don't know if she's like a strong rugby fan, but she knows results.
If they win things like that.
Yeah.
Because you would have met her... How many times did you meet her before you then married her granddaughter? Did you get to Buckingham Palace in 03? Did you get before
03,
that?
03, yeah. So when we got our MBEs, we met her twice in 03. But that would...
And was she quite interested and excited in the World Cup win, or did you feel it was a sort of something that she had to get through and there were... things that she had on her agenda.
I think what you've seen through Honours List is she is very sport passionate, and that's why people get recognised when they do well in sport. She definitely knows. I always remember.
She's got good knowledge.
When I first met her, probably socially, was at Royal Ascot, and I had a boot on my foot.
Yeah.
Oh, I had something wrong with my foot, and we'd gone to watch one of her...
Good luck.
Horse, yeah.
with the tail.
Club foot being dragged along behind.
We'd gone to watch one of her runners being saddled, and the first sort of question she came up and asked me was, how was the injury? It was your... And went through what it was, and she's very well informed. I was
really?
Like, well, yeah, everything's fine. Three more weeks, hopefully, four more weeks.
Very good.
But yeah.
And Harry is obviously a very passionate England fan.
Yes,
yeah.
Very.
Is he somebody who when you watch on the telly box, is he somebody who screams and shouts, or is he quite sort of reserved when watching? I know he has to be strapped in the in the Royal Box.
Seat. See, I think he's different when he watches.
Yeah.
Isn't everyone?
I imagine so, but I'd be just quite interested in the difference between performing in public and what he's like when it's on telly box.
I think he looks different in public.
I would imagine so.
But I think he generally wants to do some, in his role, he wants to do some good. He's always asking questions.
Because he's done School of Hard Knocks as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
With Will and
he's
Scott.
Good mates with Will. But he generally wants to get to the bottom of most things with the RFU and solve problems. So that's how he is, very passionate English supporter. He's got a lot of work to do.
But I was going to say the one or two things to clear
but
up.
But there's a good military rugby link as well, isn't there? Like,
very, very good. Have you ever been to the Army Navy game?
No, you've
got to avoid that with a passion unless you get fully got your drinking wellies.
Yeah, it's true. Apparently, they sell more beer at the Army Navy game than they do in every other fixture put together.
Yeah,
It's incredible.
Stop it.
A
lot of them go for the rugby. They go for the booze, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's six, no, five.
100,000 pints.
Talking games.
There's
a possibility of six games, five or six games. Well, no, then there's a Premiership final.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's quite a few.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is quite scary. So when you two got together, obviously you were competing at a very high level, still are obviously, but how did, because I remember Hask saying when we had Chloe on that he was very firm with it. He said, this is the Haskell train and either you're on it or you're off it. First of all, your reaction to that. Terrible chat. But at the same time, how did you two...
And back to Hask.
Yes, exactly. How did you... I mean, how easy was it with two of you very devoted to what it was you were doing in a sort of sporting context to get that crossover? When you're competing, what does your calendar look like?
I mean, So I go opposite season to the rugby season. I go from March to October.
Yeah, that's good.
made for awesome summer holidays.
Yeah, I imagine.
So no holidays, but at least we could support each other.
Yeah.
Couldn't we? Came and watched every single event.
Thanks.
Did he really?
Every single big event.
Right. I can feel there's something to discuss in the car on the way home.
What you're saying is sometimes some of the events are very small and they're basically just in a field.
Hang on, you can't be saying that. You'll be told which events are small and which...
But you get to know the calendar and there are some that are quite small, and then at some point she'll have all of her horses need to go out, so she might be riding seven.
Yeah.
So basically, I'll go when Mia was very young, and I'd be standing in the field with Mia, and she'd get off one, get on another. So I wouldn't actually speak to her the whole day. I'd just be stood in the field, freezing.
Did you take that well? Did you take that well?
Yeah, I loved it.
Doting husband.
I loved it. But yeah, so with in sort of how we got on, I always felt that horsey people are very similar to rugby people. They work hard, very hard, but then they enjoy themselves off the field. So the eventing community is a great community to hang around with. They're all very like-minded. They love a drink. They get up early, work hard, like a party. So it worked really well. But then, sort of, she gets into a zone when she's about, mainly when she's going to go cross country, because obviously it's a serious event, and if things go wrong, it goes wrong badly. Yeah. So you sort of get to learn when she's in a zone where she just wants to be in her own, go through what the fences are, and you sort of just facilitate that. And then I used to just try and be around. If she wanted anything, I could go do it, get it. Same with match day. She knew that I had a sort of routine. I got up really early, had breakfast, went back to bed, then got back up again.
That again.
And then
another breakfast.
And then you just understand that, but you understand why each other's doing it.
Yeah.
So it actually works quite well, because you sometimes, if there's an incident where you think she's not quite there, you can you talk to her, or she'll talk to me, or after a game, or after she's gone cross country, did that go right? And then she'll explain to you. So you actually learn your knowledge base a little bit better of the sport.
He thinks he's got good knowledge now.
I don't think I've got good knowledge. But
he is good.
No,
he's tried.
Is it a pretty night?
In the very early courting stages.
He tried.
Did he?
But, got on there.
Were you like a cowboy, one hand on the pommel? Very good. Oh, that's quite impressive. Is that right or not?
We don't have a pommel.
The saddle's got, but you don't like hold on. Like,
I know, but like,
you're in the cowboy, aren't you?
or are you quite sort of heels down and reins in both hands?
No, just wanted to gallop.
Right.
No, like, trotting.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, hold on. But I think where our relationship worked really well is because we were like, fuck it, we kind of just were doing our own thing, and it worked well together because we understood what each one was doing.
Yeah.
We understood what was needed of each other because of our lifestyle, because of what we were trying to achieve, where we wanted to be, how we wanted to get better.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, we both wanted the same, you know. I understood that's what he needed, because that's what I wanted as well.
Yeah. So what's really interesting is when you were talking about the psychology of what you do, because I presume in different disciplines you need to be in very different mindsets.
Yeah, very much, yeah.
So and how do you ride that? That's the wrong expression. How do you get yourself ready for those kind of... What did that take for you to feel I'm ready to do it and I'm in the right place?
I'm quite... that's my favourite bit, so it's the bit that I enjoy the most. I guess, like, the more adrenaline you can get, the more you can use to your advantage.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, turn it into your advantage. So that was my best day. I'd, you know, go walk the course early, depending on when I was on, watch a few, and then I'd go and either watch it by myself or just go do my own thing and run through, you know, you run it through your head, like, over and over and over again, because you've got, you know what, 36 jumping efforts in 10 minutes or 11 minutes or whatever it is, depending on the length of the track, and, you know, all your plan A routes, what happens if something goes slightly wrong, and where you need to be at each moment. You know, there's minute markers, there's, you know, places depending on what the track's like, if it's hilly, like where you're going to lose time, where you're going to gain time, all these things you run through your head like 50,000 times before you actually ride it. And it's quite, I find it quite, found it quite nice. The quietest place was like as you were standing waiting to go in the 10-minute box, it's called 10-minute box, you know, the start box, where they're counting you down. I found that was your quietest moment.
Did you do nerves at that point, or are you ready at that point?
Because you stop thinking about, you know, how you're going to do everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's like it goes quiet before you actually just go out and do it.
Really? Did you do nerves?
I think everyone's nervous, and I think, you do nerves, but it's being able to use them. You need to use them properly, otherwise then it's negative energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always used to say about nerves is I would never say I was nervous, but you should always have nerves, because if you have nerves, it means you care about it.
Yeah.
It means you care how you perform. It means you care about what you're doing. So anyone who says they don't have nerves is either, well, it's most likely lying, or they're personally caring.
But also people's behaviour is very different with nerves. Like, people deal with nerves very differently.
Yeah.
Some people go really quiet and just want to be on their own. Some people need to go and watch every single horse go around, which I think's not great, because you can then like watch a combination going round and see, you know, something that you didn't want to see, and then it like plays in your mind. And you've got to remember, when you're on a horse, like, you've done all that training with your horse, you know it inside out.
Yeah.
And you know each horse is different, so the way you've planned to ride it is the way you need to ride it. Don't watch someone else the way they've ridden it.
How do you find watching?
All right.
Do you?
Yeah, I think the most nervous was probably Arken 2006. Because
my show jumping.
Yeah.
On my cross country.
No, you're show jumping. Never had an issue with her cross country, really. I mean, she's had a couple of horses that... Well, actually, never in the start did I worry about her cross country, because I knew that was her strongest point and the bit that she loved the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say about Arken in 2006 on Toy Town was when I was on a bike trying to pedal around and watch, and just when two beings are working together perfectly, whether if she made a mistake, he'd get her out of it. If he was unsure about something, he would do exactly what she told him to do. And you know, you had to bank that boat, didn't you? And he was just an honest horse and would do whatever she asked. So it was just quite good to watch that. But then obviously the show jumping, she was in first, think you had one fence, didn't you, in hand? Because you had one down, didn't you?
I had a fence in hand, yeah.
So you had just over a fence in hand, and then you didn't hear the bell start.
So, Aachen is, our biggest kind of showground we'd ever ride in. It's got 50,000. And they've got the commentator's box, which is quite tall. And on it, they've got this little tinky little bell that is for us to go. So it's like, ding! And Bettina Hoy had just been, and she'd jumped. Did she jump clear? Or anyway, the Germans had won the team gold.
Yeah.
So the Germans were all going nuts. But I still had to jump for, individual. So they were still shouting. So I didn't hear the bell. And they were all, shouting at me. And then I looked up at the clock, and I'd seen it start, and I was like, shit.
It's like so one of those where everyone in the crowd's going, whistling, really? Going, get on with it, go.
And also, you don't hear anything. Yeah. You don't hear, especially when you're in a zone, you don't hear.
Yeah.
That kind of, you don't hear.
There's
the
no
voices
one there to say, you're on.
No, that's just the bell.
The bell to go.
Also, to say you can go. The bell signifies when you've got 30 seconds, haven't you, to start or something.
You get 30.
So if you haven't heard the bell, you've got 30 seconds to start. But if you haven't heard it, you don't know that you've got 30 seconds to start.
But then the clock will just keep going, so it'll start.
Yeah.
And so I was about 5 seconds down when I started.
But then,
so I had a fence down and a time fault.
Are you someone that looks back on the detail now? Because when he said you were, do you remember incidents and moments and things like that? Or are you someone that just wanders down your parquet?
No, I think you remember
moments.
Certain bits that are really stick out.
Yeah.
And I remember coming. So I had one. The last line was a treble and then an upright at the end, and I had a fence in the middle of the treble. And so I still had two fences to jump, but I knew that he was going to jump them. I just had a feeling. And people said to me, oh, what if you had another fence on? I was like, no, he wasn't going to. But I jumped in quite quick because obviously I was behind time. I jumped in a bit too quick, which is why he probably had it down. But he was a good horse. He's one in a million.
He was a ridiculous horse in terms of personality. If you would go and feed a different horse or give it a treat or something, he would literally boot the stables going, excuse me,
come back
big
to
dog
me.
Here.
Really?
Me. And if you came and sort of went to see him,
he'd
hook you in with his neck and give you a hug. He was ridiculous. He just loved being the
attention. He never performed unless it was big. He was a big performer. It had to be a big occasion for him to perform. Sounds like has to, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. You are listening and watching The Horse of Rugby.
We've done that.
Thank you. Together with Guinness, with me, Alex Payne, alongside Mike and Zara Tindall. Still to come, we're going to talk Olympics. We're going to talk retirement, World Rugby. That's been it's been an impressive week for them. And there's a husband and wife perfect pour as well. But first, here's a little something else from Joe that you might like.
Cheers, Alex. I'm Chris Lloyd. This is Carl Frampton eating his way slowly towards the middleweight division. We're going to be here every Thursday talking about the big issues in boxing, getting stuck in with special guests, behind-the-scenes interviews, and, of course, snacks as well. Tune in every Thursday, podcast and on YouTube.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. I hope all's going well with TKO. Don't forget to join the House of Rugby Facebook group, and you can vote on what you'd like to see on a limited edition House of Rugby t-shirt. Have you heard about this?
No.
No, okay. So there's some crap that comes out of Haskell's mouth that we're now putting some of his slogans onto t-shirts, and our lucky viewers and listeners are able to win them if they so decide or choose to enter our competition.
You're infecting even more people with us.
Yeah, no, there is a fuck bucko.
There is a fuck bucko. Your intonation is brilliant. It's like fuck bucko.
Yeah,
I think fuck bucko is still in at number one. We have a lot of people who talk about heavy breathing on this show because your husband's obviously got a very smart new nose, but Haskell can't really get much out. Could we just confirm? Does the heavy breathing continue at home?
No, it's on much mic? Better.
Oh, so it's not Mike.
It's Hask. It's Hask because he goes.
Yeah, he does that. Yeah,
he does that.
So he's not. Mike's not a snorer.
No, not he. Still after the beers, but not.
Right.
He used to be properly.
Is he
bad.
Improved with the new nose?
Yes.
Yes. That's what it was done for.
A lot.
So all roads
he
lead to Haz.
No, but he didn't. He admitted that he was getting headaches from it.
What, from the heavy breathing?
From his nose.
Really?
That's how I got it done.
It's very sensible. So Hask is a heavy breather, fuck bucko, absolute gnaws, folded like a deck chair, I'm a serious operator, and my favourite, never microwave moule marinière.
Jesus.
Which one would you like? I'll have your T-shirt sent to you. That was mine.
Just, it's a big T-shirt for never mind, never
would
microwave
you, would you like it? It's only got a print run of one at the moment.
Absolute gnaws.
Oh, don't do absolute gnaws, that's Haskell's. Yeah. Folded like a deck chair?
Is that yours too?
No, that's Haskell.
That's Haskell.
I'm a serious operator, it's got to be Haskell.
That's Haskell, yeah.
So is yours.
He said that wearing a scrum cap with a Brent T-shirt.
I think
on.
There's only one of mine and one of of
that's
Alex's.
That's you could be in Team Tindall.
I have
fucko.
To, Nummy.
So you're going to wear a fuck bucko T-shirt.
Bucko's doing all right for himself, working for a school now in China.
Who is?
Bucko. Why did you say that?
Is it really?
Yeah. What do you mean, why did I say that?
Why did you say that?
Because, because when...
Where's it come
you remember,
from?
Remember, because he used to injure everyone. In our own team.
In training.
Yeah.
Why your husband's had to have a £1,000 new nose?
The
Bucko's big boot.
The BRIs, the Bucko related injuries.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it obviously used to be.
Shall we send you we'll send you a fuck Bucko T shirt?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm looking forward to that being on the front page of the Daily Mail when you wear it after Cheltenham. Hold on tight.
Oh, there could be a bet there. First day.
How much?
Tuesday the 12th of Cheltenham, she's going to turn up in a fuck bucko T-shirt.
Wow. Do you imagine how much
Or your fascinating.
Our listenership would go through the roof.
Does it have to be really visual?
Visual.
Well, it's not much point wearing on the inside of the case, is it?
Little lapel under a lapel.
Because you're handing something out, no doubt.
We'd have to do it. F question mark star star.
Yeah,
exactly. FC UK. Facebook group is a huge one. I think we've got a lot of people getting in touch, actually. We actually had a lot of people picking Royal 15s this week, purely out of coincidence.
Did they?
But we're going to come on to that in a moment or two, yeah. What does producer Size ask for people's thoughts on the best 15s that we could do? And we've had some terrific suggestions, and we'll get to in future shows. But if you'd like to make a suggestion for our 15s, do just that.
The more random, the better, please. I think that's where I think that's where we... We thrive.
Producers
the more controversial for myself and Hask would be the better, obviously.
Because it's 15 and a serial killer.
It makes Alex go absolutely bonkers.
I've nothing to do with this. I'm just going to wheel off stage
The old panic face.
Should we talk London 2012?
Yeah.
How... To talk us through it, because actually you'd had opportunities before which hadn't
come
off. So, and particularly home Olympics as well.
Yeah, so Toy Town had been injured a couple of times, so he missed a couple of Olympics, which is sad because he was such an awesome horse and would have been, you know, a real Olympic, you know, medal contender.
Yeah.
I was sad for him as well because I would potentially could have, you know, if I found another horse like him.
Yeah.
But he didn't get there.
Not
that it brings anything down on him.
Not many sports is there where you could be the... In the best fettle of your life, feeling great about yourself, but then
and you can't make it because
the horse is injured. You're buggered unless you've got another one that's of that standard.
Yeah,
It's frustrating. Really.
It's frustrating, but then I was lucky enough to be picked for London.
Yeah,
and on he's a much less experienced horse, but yeah, to be going to London, you know, home crowds. We stayed in the village.
Yeah,
we did the whole experience.
What was the buzz like as a competitor, as an athlete?
It was incredible.
Was it really?
Absolutely incredible. And, you know, it was great for our sport because it's obviously quite a tricky sport to understand. You know, there's three phases going on and the way that the marking system is, it's not the easiest to follow for those who don't always follow it. So
it's not easy for those who do follow it.
It's not easy for me to understand the new rules. But it was great for the sport to be there, for people to just walk in, you know, at Greenwich Park, to just come and watch. It was absolutely packed. It was unbelievable to ride around. It was, you needed, because of the, it's quite hilly at Greenwich Park and it was tight. So, you know, it was narrow and it was twisty and it was like you had to ride a motorbike around there. So your horse had to be really nimble, you know, athletics, quick, completely listening to you all the time.
Yeah.
So that you could, like, get your speed up and, like, properly travel. So mine was great like that. He was little pocket rocket. But you like the crowds were incredible. Absolutely yeah. incredible. You just couldn't have wanted for better support.
It looked spectacular as well.
So what was it like? Yes, what was it like in your supporting role?
No, it was it was all, I mean, the whole of...
Did you make it?
a little bit more to talk about on the way home.
Yes.
You went to lots of Olympic parties, didn't you?
No, look, I went to one party the night before, but then I still got there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to share?
Always I'm trying to think,
let bygones be bygones.
Yeah. Was it Duran Duran the night before, wasn't it?
I don't know, wasn't it? Somewhere.
It was very good.
You went to Duran Duran the night before?
No, they had a party.
Okay.
Yeah, Simon and Yasmin, you know.
Darling.
Name dropper.
Clang.
But I had Zara's best mate Dolly with us, and we both went to there. We finally got to the hotel and got there in the morning. But like the walk in.
Well, I was preparing for the biggest moment of my life.
Yeah. Look, we were there, but the walk in and how helpful everyone was. It was incredible in London, in a place where people expect them not really to speak to people, and the volunteers were just awesome on the whole walk. And I just thought Greenwich Park and where the dressage show jumping arena was, and how it had sort of three sides, didn't it? And then it faced
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it was open. It was
faced out. It just looked spectacular, and yeah, it was jam packed. Which
it was a great atmosphere. Like yeah. it was like a kind of
it was very
stress. Had been lifted out of London. It was yeah. awesome.
And it was very unhorsey because it was like proper erupted, didn't it? Every time anyone came out, there like proper applause. Yeah. And the horses must have been going, what the
yeah.
devil?
So all the when you got back into like all the other nations and, you know, your support team and everyone were like, you could tell when there was a Brit on the track because the noise was just like this big
incredible
funnel of noise and like riding it. So on our watches, we've got a beep. It beeps every minute.
Okay.
To let you know that it's a minute, so you don't have to look at your watch. Anyway, you couldn't hear the beeping because of the noise of the crowd. So like you're like, shit, is my watch working? And you're like, okay, yeah. But you couldn't hear it. You couldn't. It was so noisy. But it was so noisy and incredible.
Yeah.
Like the whole track was packed, rammed with people. But it was like, for me, it was like galloping through this silent like tunnel as well, just because of your concentration and, you know, where you were, like, mentally and physically together. It was very kind of bizarre feeling that, you know, you probably not get again.
Did you take in any of the other events?
Yes. So we went to Super Saturday, the first Saturday.
Did you really?
Yeah. We did two of the rowing. Yeah, and then
I didn't quite make the rowing.
Why?
I forgot my pass. So we got there and I had to go to the pub.
Did you really?
Yeah, whilst her mum and her went off to watch, I didn't have a pass, so I went to the pub.
Unbelievable.
Useless.
Where are the medals now, by the way? Please tell me they're both in the sock drawer, which is where everyone keeps them.
They're hanging. We have a bar in the house. And
we've
off the
we've
bar.
Heard about the bar barn before. Are they in the bar barn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is quite cool. Which would be more valuable on the open market?
Well,
definitely Olympic medal.
Yeah, and it's solid silver, whereas the piece of tin that is our Rugby World Cup medal is only used to open bottles, basically. It's the memories, but the memories. Medal is her FEI. So her two gold individual FEI ones and gold team are the same as my World Cup medals. Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's just like a stamp.
Olympics are the only one who do a good
one. What other ones have you got, like a power gen in there as well?
I do have a power gen. Obviously, I've got numerous Six Nations ones.
Yes, you do.
What else have we got? A Parker pen, as it was in the day.
We're dealing in the big stuff here, aren't we?
A Parker pen,
back top of the
day,
CV.
2005, she might have won a gold medal. I won a Parker pen.
Strong.
Foster,
Can we come into a live House of Rugby from the bar barn at some point?
Yeah.
Off the record.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, you can.
Off the record.
But you have to drink what you're dealt.
Do we want to tell Hask where we live?
No, not
no, really. Definitely don't do that. Definitely don't. We'll dial him in. He can send another video message. We're missing you, Hask. I want to ask you about a little bit more about him. And I suppose when he retired, so Hask was very emotional when we did a show about 3 or 4 weeks ago about the concept and the prospect of retirement. What was he like? What was he like when he was playing in his pomp? And did you find him? Because he was telling the story the other day about the when he lost his rag over the incident with playing for Minch, and after he came on the show. And you, I have to say, maintain rugby ethos and say, get back out there and go and have a pint. But did he ever do that? Was he ever difficult as a player?
No, just let him get pretty on with it. I think he was kind of the calm one on the field always. And there were certain games that after, like if when he came home, he'd be irritated about, or certain maybe decisions that had gone the wrong way or that he would get irritated about, but it would never last long. And I think I was probably the same. Like if you get it, he would get it out and then he'd be fine.
You get it right. What about when he was injured?
It was all right. You were all right.
You had quite a few, didn't you? And you had some quite serious ones.
Yeah, I think I pretty much had five, probably.
He's quite disciplined, though. Like, he was quite disciplined, like, with his injury. So he would look after himself and he would get back, you know, like, he would do all his rehab. And
did you ever worry about him?
I was quite worried when you came off. Was it the Wales game when you're...
Your liver had fallen out.
That was
quite worrying. My first memory of that was when I was getting in the changing room, her walking in with a pint sized glass of white wine in her hand. Yeah, you're all right. I was like, oh, we jolly, are we? And I was like taking a deep breath in, and it would carry on going. I was like, this is not right. Something's wrong here.
Really?
But yeah, just,
I had to
just
leave my pint of white wine in the changing room when I went in the ambulance with him.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I probably should have taken it with me. Yeah.
She judged the ambulance people for not liking it.
What about when he retired? Was that something you did together? Did he come to you and say, I think I'm done? And was that an easy transition?
I don't think so, because I think he thought he was getting to the end of his career. He would have, I think, liked to have done another year if he could have done, but the opportunity didn't happen.
Yeah. No, I was going to say nothing was done with my retirement. Nothing was done conventionally, in the fact that I didn't really want to retire, but I didn't want to go to a different club. I wanted to stay at Gloucester for another year in an ideal world, because that would have been 10 years.
I was on
190.
He's only played for two clubs.
But you say loyal. Going from Bath to Gloucester is.
But I didn't look. Truth. This is another story. I didn't want to leave Bath in the first place. There was arguments with Mr. Brownsword.
Differing of opinion overpay.
I'm quite happy. I had this conversation with people on when I first did it. Is that, you know, I was playing for England and I was on pittance. I'd won a World Cup and I was still on pittance, and just because of how my contracts had gone. Mm. When I say pittance, that's probably a disrespectful to people who earn salaries, but in terms of what my peers were around, if you looked at someone like Andrew Higgins, who was at Worcester at the time, he was getting paid almost double me, and I'd won a World Cup.
Right.
So
you can see,
my contracts, unfortunately, so I'd just signed a new one before I got sort of capped.
Yeah.
Which then tied me down till 2002 before the World Cup. So then I got a pay rise that wasn't where it should have been.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to leave Bath, and I was happy with it everywhere we are. So I signed that one and then went on and won a World Cup. And then after the World Cup, I was like, look, this is my biggest contract now. I was 27. Mm. I'd been offered a lot of money at Sale. Saris had offered me a fair bit of money. I had gone in September to Bath and said, this is what I want. I don't want to talk to anyone else. I don't want to see anyone else. It was only 30 grand more than what they ended up offering me. And they just didn't move on it. Now people will say, well, how did that work within the salary cap in terms of what other players were getting paid? I was like, well, it's not entirely my issue.
No, I can see that.
You know, I could probably go all the way over here with Saris or Sale, but... And I only moved to Gloucester because of their ability. Mm. I went and looked at Sinbad play, Django play, the players that they had all over the park. You know, obviously Gomez was up there. Well, Gomez sort of left at the time. Vix was there. Trevor Trevor was there, even though they all left the year that I moved there, but which I didn't know. When I signed, they were all still there. Yeah. When I signed, Nigel was still there, and then he left, and Dean was coach, and I thought Dean hated me. And then
you got on quite well with Dean
in the end.
You did Barbars together, didn't you?
Yeah, so the first sort of time I played against Dean, against Bristol, I sort of got under his skin quite badly, and because I was over a rock trying to steal it, and he's come through and he's uppercut me. And
he had a big arm guard in those days as well.
And I've looked at him and went, "Is that all you've got? I thought you were a marine boxer. That's the softest punch I've ever felt." Oh. And his eyes sort of just changed, and then for the next 40 minutes he was chasing me around the field, and I don't know why I was in a mall, but I was in a mall again, and he punched me again, and the referee saw it and sent him off, and I waved him off, bye bye. And anyway, Arch was in the team at that time, and Arch came up to me and went, "Mate, what have you done to Dean? He absolutely hates you and wants to kill you." And I was like, so obviously then I wasn't really worried about it unless we played against them, but then obviously I joined Gloucester and he was then coach, and I was like, "Oh, but in all credit to Dean, what he's very good at is going ballistic at you, but then the next day forgetting all that, and he can just drop things straight away and get on." And we ended up getting on very, very well.
What did you find him like as a coach? And the reason I ask that is that of everyone I ever worked with at Sky, the two people that stood out in terms of almost seeing the game in a different matrix were him and Rob Baxter.
Yeah.
And they just spotted and explained things that a blind man like me would never have been able to
pick. If you asked me who's the best coach I've worked under, it'd be Dean.
Yeah.
His ability to break down the game into also break down a skill into micro skills and then work on the micro skills and then put it all back together.
Yeah.
It was brilliant for forwards. And it was great to then help forwards get better in terms of your attack game, but also defensively. And for that 3-year period, he was brilliant at that.
He's good at kicking up the arse too.
Yeah.
Does he need a bit of that?
Well, no.
Well, no, like all of them.
Oh, all of them, okay.
It was a good team dynamic. Yeah, you definitely didn't want to
for a while.
Piss him off. No.
But then, you know, in some ways you went a bit mad towards the end when we'd been probably the best team in the Premiership for 3 years, and then we didn't win anything. And the next year he sort of went for a different route and it didn't really work. He got very hard on Lammy and it didn't really help Lammy. Lammy needs a bit of love and he didn't quite get that in that year. But you definitely didn't want to
just get
it wrong.
No one wants to retire, do they?
No. If only we could live forever. It's quite profound. Did you love life at Gloucester? I mean,
yeah, I do miss it.
Do you?
It's
That's
you know,
really interesting because I would never have asked that question to him before. But obviously it's obvious what it means to retire when a player goes. But you must have been in a really tight social circle and really good friends.
You see those guys every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend, for the whole season, and you all live in the same stress ball, the same wins, the same losses. You know, it's all the same for all of us. So, and we had great games, bad games. We had great social time as well. So it was great fun. It was good fun days. None of us had children.
Harking back.
You know, like we just, it was, you know, you can kind of do whatever, you know, do whatever you wanted. Yeah. And that we do see quite a few of them now, and we do social stuff together. But it's much more, you know, everyone's kind of everywhere.
Push chairs everywhere instead.
Yeah, push chairs.
Quite the same. When you two play Scrabble, who is the more competitive?
Definitely him. I can't really play Scrabble.
Okay, but when you so Monopoly cards,
he would
like,
definitely beat me at Scrabble.
What do you get most competitive about?
Everything.
Do you really?
Table tennis.
Yeah. I think the only thing I can beat him in is swimming.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a sprint, long distance. Very economical.
Right.
I'm just like dragging a lead weight behind me.
We haven't done a sprint race. Do you think you'd be?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get the cameras along.
Yeah.
very interesting.
What? Just because you put your flippers on.
I think I would beat you in a short race. You'd definitely beat me in a long race.
I can feel a sort of midnight challenge coming on here.
The thing is where I'll quite happily tell her when she'll beat me at something. She would never admit that I might be able to take her at something.
You beat me at everything else. I just said that.
Okay. Then I'll give you swimming.
I'll sure, give you swimming.
I'm sure that's what you wanted.
Whatever.
Does that help you? No. Not at all.
I can already feel the temperature rising a little bit here. Just before we get into our... I've got to say, we're going to do a Royal 15.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But it's all eyes on Mike. I don't feel that I've got enough.
You have to. You can't.
I don't
think
I have a free pass well, on the Tower of London.
But then this
was
what I discussed when we got here, that I didn't
we'll
feel that I could go
then.
Too much
okay,
into people that I know. So because then positioning might become awkward. So I've thrown in some foreign royal families and some very, very blast from the past.
That is a bottle job. Before we get into that, though, two fairly hot topics this week in the world of rugby. Well, rugby have not had their finest hour, I'm sure they would admit. There's been a lot of rumour and misrumour.
But why can't people figure out that Twitter's not a good way to voice anything?
True.
No.
Thoughts are... I mean, it's difficult to know what the thoughts are, sure. because I think a lot of people are now shouting into a void that World Rugby have said it isn't actually necessarily what they're trying to go for. But essentially, World Rugby have proposed a sort of a new... what is it? World League, is going to be shut for... It's 10 countries, top 10. Well, actually, it's not even top 10 countries. It's Japan and USA coming in at the expense.
What I understand where the frowning point comes from is the fact that they started with this huge thing of what it was going to grow the game.
Yeah.
But then they've gone Six Nations plus...
Sanzar,
and then Japan
and USA.
Yeah. And they haven't actually gone for the top 12 nations in the world.
Yes.
Because they've gone for USA because of cash in terms of what that market can add. And obviously, I don't know, Japan in terms of... Actually, I think Japan are a pretty good team and deserve to be in there anyway. But they're in the rugby championships already. But obviously, it means no Fiji, no Tonga, no Samoa, Fiji are at 9 or whatever in the world right now. I think it's just been a little bit lost in translation what they were trying to say because they have said there's going to be promotion and relegation. And there's also a question mark about player welfare in terms of how many games they can end up playing.
Johnny Sexton has said, to suggest that players can play 5 incredibly high-level test matches in consecutive weeks in November is out of touch and shows little understanding of the physical strain that this brings.
And that's coming from a guy who only plays 9 games a year, so he...
Good. Can't let it go.
He should be asking Owen Farrell, who plays 35 games a year.
Yeah.
But again, I think it doesn't change. You would still be adding to the calendar rather than taking away, which I'm not entirely sure I get on board with. I think, 5 internationals back-to-back is all I could say. And if you look at how they come off, even if you look at the Premiership games of the weekend and how many concussions there were, you know, you're asking a lot because the intensity does go up, the hits do go up. And I think there is an idea in there, but it needs a lot of tweaking.
Yeah, I imagine what we have heard this week is not where we're going to end up. Just as a fan, to not see Samoa, Fiji and Tonga at the top 10.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You see the hits those guys put in, you know.
That's probably World Rugby's idea of player welfare.
Yeah.
Take them out.
Well, exactly. Career could be extended potentially, but a lot of colour would be lost from the game.
Yeah.
And Saris have had a little tough time in the Daily Mail. Rumours potentially that they're not necessarily playing by the rules in the salary cap.
Yeah,
discuss.
I don't know. Yeah, it is a hot potato. I think obviously with marquee players, that's thrown a big cloud over what salary caps are anyway. Now there's 2. It's a difficult one. From what I understand, Nigel Ray is involved in players' companies, but then Nigel Ray is a guy who fully immerses himself in his club, looks after the players, makes player welfare, family welfare in terms of what he does for all the players' families is a priority for him. So I would expect he would think he was just lending a helping hand by getting... Should he then be not allowed to do that? That's a question that you've got to ask. If you're saying that by him getting involved, he's actually giving more money to them, I don't think that would be his main reason for doing it. I think he actually wants to help his players. But, you know, you look at the amount of players they've got in there, they've got a lot of internationals.
eight Lions players next season.
I definitely think the way he looks after his players and the families and the whole other clubs should be wanting to try and do that.
There's a reason
why
they are win everything.
Yeah.
Because they make it a joy to play for that club, and they make the family, your kids, it good to be part of that club. And when you have that, players will buy into it more. You know, Exeter, another team that do it very well.
Yeah.
And that's why they're successful. And, you know, whether he's in breach of salary cap rules, I'm sure it'll come out in the wash. But everyone's going to say that because they do so well and they've got a lot of international players. Is it as simple as just opening the books and going, well, there it is? Probably not, but watch this space.
Very diplomatic.
Was that diplomatically answered?
Quite a politician at times, Tins. Watch this space, I think. I think there's a lot more to come from both of those stories with World Rugby and Saracens. Are you ready? So how's this going to go down inside the...
You'll be fine.
Do you think? I can't imagine Elizabeth is necessarily a fan of House of Rugby, but do send her our way. If she'd like to be a guest, we are very welcome to receive, I think.
I think if you put her in the team as captain, she'll be fine.
Well, obviously.
Obviously.
At 10?
At 10.
At 10. I've gone at 10 as well. Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II at 10. No questions asked, no debate there. So we are picking our Royal 15 this week. This is about the most nervous I've been, actually, I have to say.
Well, yeah,
Royal 15 was an absolute double. But
well, that's because you're a true geek.
Yeah, all right.
Literally.
I'm also a fan of The Crown, so I don't want to get this wrong.
It's coming back, isn't it?
This is our Guinness Perfect Pour, our weekly test in 119 and a half seconds, because that's how long it takes to pour the perfect pint of Guinness.
Do you watch The Crown?
Hmm?
Do you watch The Crown?
Yes.
The TV show.
Yeah.
It's coming back, isn't it?
Is it? Are you going to... Do you know who's playing you?
Yeah, episode...
I've got... I hope to God they don't go
Series 35.
And
really?
Jason Statham. You're welcome.
Very good. Who was a high diver.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. Years ago.
He
went
to Commonwealth. Diver?
No, he went to Commonwealth Games.
Oh, right. Like
10 metre board.
Commonwealth Games.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, yes, he would be... Who would you choose?
As me?
Yeah.
Charlize Theron, baby.
Yeah. My God, I've had a total blank with name.
Margot Robbie.
Or Margot, that's a good one too. Or Justin Timberlake's wife.
Jessica Biel.
Yes, Jessica Biel.
Yeah, or her.
Obviously,
very good.
Exactly. Take those. Jason Statham's about right. Have you ever been confused for him?
No, don't tell him who you were confused for.
Who are you confused with? Who are you confused with?
It was the worst moment ever in the history of my... we were on holiday in the Bahamas, and I was in the sea, and I bumped into this guy, and he said, oh, hello, how are you doing, all right? I was like, okay, no worries, swim on. And then he came to me and goes, how's your foot? I was like, foot's fine.
Why have you asked that? Metatarsal?
Yeah. And he goes, you are him, aren't you? I was like, awkward question, because like, well, who do you think I am? He goes, you are Wayne Rooney, aren't you?
Actually, now you say it, that's actually quite...
And I was like, dude, he's a lot smaller than me. And if you don't get out, keep the shit out of you. I love you, Wayne.
More money than me.
Love you, Wayne. Wow. I wish you had his bank balance, yeah.
Don't we all? Where we go with our Royal 15?
So, one, I've got Henry VIII.
Which is a brilliant call.
Reportedly, when he was died, he was around 350 to 400 pounds. So, he's clearly
ain't
not
going back in any scrum at all.
The only problem I had with him, he's a bit of a he's going to be a penalty machine. He likes taking heads, doesn't he? So,
yes. Potentially distracted with off-field issues as well.
But I still think he's not going to move. I've got George V, renowned dead-eyed dick. Guaranteed line-out win.
I love this. We're getting through family members here. You're just like, one we can't talk about.
This is my first foreigner. Is a guy called Farouk, who was the last king of Egypt. He was also 300 pounds. So I'm thinking our set piece.
That's a hell of a front row.
And then at four, I've got, he's called Porus. He fought Alexander the Great
You've done an unbelievable amount of research.
He hasn't had any meetings today.
Right, yes, exactly. You can always tell when he's busy, because when he's not busy, he turns up and he's got everything nicely laid out. When he is busy, he turns up and he does the whole thing during the show, yeah. occasionally raising an eyebrow in our direction.
He apparently was 7 foot tall, lost to Alexander the Great. Here's a bit of history for you, but yeah. Alexander the Great was so impressed of the man that he allowed him to still rule his domain. He didn't kill him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the
boiler house with him, I've gone Freddie Windsor, quite a tall chap.
Yeah, big hair as well.
Yeah, Buffon. Probably going to have the bit more of the skills. We'll let the poorest do the old fisticuff, be the enforcer.
Yeah.
Freddie Windsor can be the link man.
Yes.
Six, we've got Arthur Chatto, who's a young man currently Lord Linley. Sarah Chatto's son, who's at uni at the moment. He's playing rugby.
Where's he at uni?
He's at Edinburgh.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Good boy.
He's quite a big lad. He'll do well. My brother-in-law, Pete Phillips, at seven. Obviously, Scotland under 18s, knows the role.
Very. Will he be pleased with that?
Yeah, he played seven.
No, but will he be pleased that he's in Tins Royal 15?
Definitely.
Would he like to be captain, having sort of represented Scotland?
He'd have a shout for being captain, but...
Okay,
you know.
Good on
him. I've got the Duke of Edinburgh at eight to sort of steer the forwards in front. You know, he's going to drive that pack in some direction.
Sounded bark orders, wouldn't he? Make sure everyone's playing up as they should.
He used to drive them in the right direction. Not so much now.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Nine... I've got Alexander the Great.
Hopefully what?
Hopefully what?
Go on, hopefully.
I mean, you would listen to him.
Yeah, you definitely
would. Damn right.
You wouldn't have a choice.
When he says jump,
he's a pack leader, if ever there was a pack leader.
That's very true.
Nine, I've got Alexander the Great. Obviously, he was educated by Aristotle, so he's definitely a thinking man's player.
Good.
He's just going to pull the strings at nine.
Yeah.
Very much a master tactician. Obviously, set outside the Queen. She's pulling all the strings, the boss, basically.
What kind of a 10 would she be? Quiet authority.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a couple of key bullet points in the team huddle.
And
go out and do what you're meant to be doing.
A glance of an eye.
Oh, a look. What is the look?
A glance of an eye puts you back in your place.
It would either be good look or a bad look.
When did you last get the good look?
I always get the good look.
When did you last get the bad look?
Frequently.
Do you?
No, I don't think I'm okay.
You're right.
No, of course you're okay.
I just wonder if there's, you know, sort of like...
Probably when we were much younger.
Children playing up.
Yeah, when we were much younger. Not recently. Yeah.
Colouring in the carpet or something. Like that.
Writing on the furniture.
Yes.
Not recently, definitely not.
You've been good of late.
I've got Emperor...
Has he ever had the look? Have you ever had the look for him? As in, get him
what
under control.
Doing?
Yes.
No,
possibly...
I got ripped...
Mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
You got ripped from it.
They got stuck into me after I got back from my stag do. When it was the Duke's 90th, didn't they?
That was me.
It was in the paper.
Oh, all of them, yeah.
All of them, sort of. Had a good time, did you?
Oh, really?
Read about it. Oh, well.
Ouch.
He was so subtle.
Yeah. Yes. Hid under the radar on that one.
Yeah.
Emperor Nero is at 11. 67 AD, he went to the Olympics. Won everything he entered, funnily enough. So I'm thinking people were a little bit scared of him. So I think down the wing, no one's going to tackle him. I have got a fantastic pairing in the centres. I've got the Prince Harry and Prince William. They know each other inside out. Has frontline man in the military. He's your
12.
He'll crash that ball up for us. He'll dominate that.
Yeah.
He'll boss the tackle line.
William cutting angles.
I see Willie as a...
Nice kicking game, I imagine.
He's quite quick. And I see him as a bit of a gusker. Just that old, that old slide.
Prince of Centres.
Yeah, the old slide. Hey!
Sorry.
See, that's why
he was actually known as the Prince of Centres.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just reverse myself out of that one. Back in a minute.
He'll just slide on the pass. Lovely. If you don't keep an eye on him, he'll just fade out there. I've got...
It's a mixed team.
It is, yeah. I'm not quite sure who they're going to play. But
I've got the Duchess of Cambridge on one wing.
Yeah.
Because she's a...
Long stride.
Loves running. She'll run all day. Engine.
Who's quicker out of husband and wife team there? Do you have Willie's, like Egg and Spoon?
Willie's quick.
Is he really?
Yeah. I've raced him. He is quick.
Quicker than you?
He might be, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's quick. Wow. Really fast leg speed.
Good on him. I mean, fast twitch fibers.
Yeah, he only weighs like...
Where do you come in the family foot race?
Oh, talk about your sprinting career, my love.
Go on.
He's such an arse.
We're going to subtitle that bit.
When I You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I used to do that at school. And he's like, oh, yeah. Wait, really, really? Your sprinting career. So I used to sprint. There weren't that many people in the athletics team at school. So right. I ended up having to do quite a few things. Not because I was fast.
High jump.
Javelin, high jump, hurdles. 100 because no one turned up.
Oh, wow.
That's the race you always win.
I mean, I'm all right. I'm better on the bend, like number three. So
you're
a bend
runner. 200 metres.
Yeah,
bend runner. Key runner.
Yeah.
And finally, at 15, I've got Iñaki, the Duke of Palma de Mallorca, who used to play professional handball. So he ain't dropping shit, is he?
Wow. That is a remarkable 15. I think you've put more effort into that
than any other team.
The entire 20 shows that have gone before.
There you go.
And they've got little notes with them too.
I did have a special. I did have a special mark for Sheikh Mohammed bin Hasha Al Maktoum, who won double gold in the trap. He was my hooker. So.
Yes, not missing anything. I'm a little disappointed that Queen Victoria didn't get in. I think she'd be a very good loose head. Like a sort of robber pat around board.
But then if you said Queen Victoria was a loose head, you would probably get
yes.
I can't believe you're too scared to do your 15.
Come on.
We can always
unleash it.
Depending on my...
I promise you I won't show the Queen.
Queen Victoria at one.
Yeah.
Don't argue.
Don't worry.
Don't argue.
She can't fuck to bite you.
All right. Keep it light. King John at two. He was a bad man. Henry VIII at three, not going back in a hurry. I've gone a second row combination of Freddie Windsor, big hair, and Prince Philip in the row.
Right.
A sort of engine room character. Fairly angry.
A dooley.
Yeah, very much a dooley. Issuing order. There's a lot of don't argue about that. I've gone Prince Harry at six, Prince William at seven, with your brother at eight. I know he's out seven, but I've gone, I want them around the park quickly, and I've gone youth in my back row.
All right.
Charles at nine. Putting it on a plate for the Queen at 10.
Oh,
she
so
doesn't
cheesy.
Need to move much. Just things happen around her. She directs cheesy. Things very nicely.
Yeah.
Granny at 10. And then I've gone Duchess of Cambridge on one wing, Duchess of Sussex on the other.
Yes.
I think that comes together very nicely. The two of you in the centre. Oh, that's only 12 and 13.
15.
And then I've put your mummy at 15.
Yeah.
Because I think she's sort of got a lovely scanning game. Not a lot's going to happen in front of her that she doesn't want. And, last line of defence,
first line of attack.
She
wouldn't let much get past her.
No. I think she's got a great understanding of the game as
well. Yeah, that's true.
So fairly modern, bar King John and Henry VIII. But I like an old and Queen Victoria. I like an old front row. Rest of it's an experience. I reckon that Royal 15 would beat the Politicians 15 from last week.
For sure.
Definitely.
Are we going to live to see another day? Or
definitely,
is that,
we'll
that's
be fine.
Perfect, okay, thank you.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah. This may well be the last House of Rugby that ever happens, but it's been a lot of fun.
It was good to see you. It was a great run. It was a great run whilst we had it.
Any other last little bits?
What's going to happen this weekend?
Oh, yes, that's a good point. Thank you. Thanks very much
indeed. Are we talking about rugby?
Yeah, we could do. England, Italy.
England owe a big bounce back. They need a 5-pointer.
Yeah.
So I expect them to get that.
Scotland Wales. Don't irritate the cousin.
Or irritate the mother.
Or the mother.
Yes. Draw. Who's going to be happy?
You want it old school?
It's Murrayfield, is it?
Yeah. A lot of injuries.
Oh yeah, they don't have anyone.
Finn Russell's back, so they'll
the
win.
Norse lives on.
So do you think Scotland are playing better rugby than Wales at the moment?
Yes. Wow. that was a knee-jerk reaction.
Sellotape your letterbox when you get home, because...
In terms of winning, no. But
the Welsh were really relaxed off the back of our podcast last weekend in the feed of comments.
But what I like about Scotland is they may lose, but they have a go. Whereas I don't think Wales have yet to have a go at... But then that won't win them a title. So you can understand it from both ways.
Yeah.
But I prefer to watch people having a go.
Rap! good luck when it comes back around.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you for coming on. It's so relaxing, isn't it?
No. I feel that I'm going away not in any way uptight or stressed about it.
Yeah. I feel really quite mellow.
Good.
That is it for this week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to The House of Rugby. We're a YouTube show and a podcast. Don't forget to download and watch our new boxing show, TK with Carl Frampton, and Boys Don't Cry with Russell Kane. Thank you to Tins and Zara once again.
Thank you for having us.
We will see you next week. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to The House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.